All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Nun Tes. We are picking up on Nun Tes. First line, last word on the line. Masiv Rami Bar Chama. So we'll see, Rami Bar Chama raises a kasha. So who is Rami Bar Chama raising a kasha towards? So if you take a look at the Ran, so the Ran writes, first Ran on the left-hand side, or I should say second Ran, excuse me. Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Konem Pera Se'elu. So before we get into the case, Rabbi Yanai Parach. So Rami Bar Chama is asking a question on Rabbi Yanai. What did Rabbi Yanai say before? The Amr La'el, Batzal Shal Truma Sheribu Gidulav Ali Karo, Mutter. So Rabbi Yanai said earlier that if you have a Truma onion that you replanted and the new growth exceeds the old growth, Mutter. That ultimately, again, the onion loses its designation as a Truma onion. The Alma Sfirale de Kulhu Gidulin Apapi Shein Isuran Aide Karka Ma'alin Esa Iker. So remember again, because Rav Yanai holds that ultimately new growth exceeds old growth, so new growth has the ability to be Mevatel old growth. So that was Rav Yanai's position. So Rav Yanai is coming along to raise a kasha on that particular position. And what does Rami Bar Chama say? Konam peros ha'ilu alai. But he's quoting from our Mishnah. If a person says, Konam, these fruit upon me. Konam hein alpi. Or remember again, I'll say, Konam is Lashon of Neder. But Lashon of Neder, that really employs the mechanism of Hekdish. So what it essentially says is that these items should be usher to me, just like a Hekdish item. So a person says, konam these peros on me, or konam heim alpi, or they should be konam to my mouth, konam heim lifi, or ultimately they are konam to my mouth, astavacha, aser bechilu fehen, ubegidu lehen. You are aser to partake either of any, not only of the fruit themselves, but if you exchange these fruit for something else, or if you replant them and ultimately again they grow additionally, or you take the seed and you replant it and it grows additionally, that the halacha is that you are usher even with that which grows afterwards. Sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani toim. But if you make a neder, I am prohibited from eating this, or prohibited from tasting this, mutar b'chilu feinu b'gidu lehen, that ultimately you are permitted to go ahead and partake of that which they are exchanged for, or that which grows from them. Again, this is just a quote from our Mishnah. B'davar, however, the Mishnah qualified it, b'davar shezara kala. All of this only applies when, in a situation where you have an item where the seed decomposes, aval b'davar shein zara kala, but if you have something where the seed does not decompose, then afilu gidula gidule gidulav asurin. Then ultimately, what? Even that which grows from that which grows will still be asa. So we'll say, so obviously this whole thing is a kasha on Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbi Yanai said that if you take the onion of truma and you replant it, and now there's new growth, if that new growth exceeds the old growth, halacha lemaisa, the new growth could be mevatel the old growth. What do you see from the Mishnah over here? The fact that the Mishnah says that in these cases, at least with an item whose... Oh, you thought I was sleeping? I'm sorry. Thank you. I know. So I make sudden movements all the time. You got to be prepared. So the idea of it. So you see over here in this case, the fact that that which grows or that which grows from the original plant is still going to be usher is a contradiction to Rabbi Yanai. To which the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Abba, this case is different. Why? Shiny konamos. So konam, a konam is different." Why is a konam different? Now, let's remember again, konam, as we've established already before, is a lashon of hekdish, right? It's a lashon of consecration. So when a person says, konam pero zu alai, ultimately what I'm saying over here is that this fruit should be to me like hekdish. So Rabbi Abba says, konamos are different. Hoil v'iboy mitshal alayhu, because, well, so listen to this, when it comes to a konam, technically, this is very interesting, if you make a konam vow, technically speaking, you could revoke that vow. You could revoke that. Now, how do you revoke that vow? Mitshal alayhu means that you could go to a chacham, remember, well, so hataras nadarim, either, remember, how do you come, we actually, it's interesting, if you'll notice, we're already 58 pages into Maseches Nadarim. The one thing we have not yet learned about is, you know, our most common experience with Nadarim, which is Hataras Nadarim. It comes to, we'll get to it soon, the mechanism. But for our purposes today, you could do Hataras Nadarim either with a Yachid Mumcha, an individual who's an expert, or a Beis Din. So Rabbi Abba wants to suggest that Konam vows are in a category of their own. Why? Because Ho'avi by Mishal Alayhu, because since technically speaking, if you wanted to go to a Talmud Chacham or to a Beis Din, you could get that Konam vow revoked. Therefore, Havaluhu Kedavar Shiyesh Lamatirin. Oh, that Rabbi said what? That halacha lamaisa, they could be like, it's like a davar sheish lamatirin. I also remember, let's go back to yesterday and 2 days ago. What's the halacha of a davar sheish lamatirin? Davar sheish lamatirin is something that is prohibited now, but could have its status changed. Meaning there is a way. Now, there are different types of davar sheish lamatirin. Certain things are davar sheish lamatirin because simply with the passage of time, they will become mutter. What's the paradigmatic example of that? Good. Other example of that also is, we're going back a little bit, Beitza Shenoldu B'Yamtiv, right? So an egg that is born on Yamtiv is Muktza. Why? And if it gets mixed in with other things, it's not Batal. Because again, it's a Davar Sheish Lamatirin. It becomes Mutter after Yamtiv itself. So remember, so when this just follows for just a moment. When something is a Davar Sheish Lamatirin, when something ultimately, again, ultimately will have a permitted time, so that prevents it from being Batal. Because remember again, bittul is a mechanism that helps you deal with prohibited items whose status will never change. But if you have an item whose status will change, i.e. it will become mutter either through the passage of time or through some other mechanism, then halacha lemaisa, that item will not be bittul in a mixture. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Abba wants to suggest that when it comes to a konam, because technically speaking, a konam has the ability to be revoked by a Beis Din or by a Talmud Chacham, therefore it's called the Davar Sheish Lamatirin, and because of that, ve'in batal barov, and therefore again, it will not be batal in a greater mixture. So the Gemara goes weiter. Bahari Truma. What about Truma? Di'i by Mishal Ale. I will say, technically speaking, you could have revocation of Truma. Now, how do you have revocation of Truma? I will say, remember, you could have revocation of anything in which you go ahead and you create. So, for example, if I'm in Yisrael, and I go ahead and I designate this item, this pile as Truma. Now, this is before I give it to the Kohen. Once I give it to the Kohen, it's done. I designate this pile as Truma. And then I decide, you know what, I don't want to give that as Truma, I want to give that as Truma. Technically speaking, I could have my statement revoked, because it's a neder. Essentially, I made a neder to give this as Truma. I could have that neder revoked, and then convey or confer that Truma status onto different produce. So the Gemara says, Vahari Truma, Dibay Mishalame, when it comes to Truma. Technically speaking, you could have your vow revoked, Ubatli Barov, yet we know that Truma is Batal Barov. How do we know that Truma is Batal Barov? This none, because we learned, Sa'at Truma Tameya. Sorry. Sa'at Truma Tameya, Shenafla. Thank you. Sa'at Truma Tameya, Shenafla, Lepachos Mimeya, Chulin. So we'll say, if you have a Sa'at of Truma Tameya, now we'll say, now, what can you do with Truma Tameya? What can you do with Truma Tameya? Absolutely nothing, right? Meaning a Kohen can't eat it. Essentially, Mechlokis, if he could use it for fuel in his oven or not. But the truth is, it's pretty much useless. So what happens? If you have a Sa'av Truma Tameya that fell into less than 100 parts of Chulin, I will say normally, Truma is Batal in a ratio of 100 to 1. So in this case over here, you have a less, I will call it the Sa'av Truma Tameya that falls into less than 100 Sa'av of Chulin. But let's take a look at the Ran for just a moment, almost right across in the Ran. Sa'at Truma Tameya, Naka Truma Tameya Lashmina Rabusa, the Diyuka, the Halameya Afagav, the Tameya Hitala. So we'll say, so listen to this. Now, what we're inferring from here is, had it fallen into a ratio of 100 parts Chulin to one part Truma, what would be the halacha? It would be Batal. So the halacha is, in that case, if it falls into less than 100 parts of Chulin, Tirakev, you just let it sit there and let it rot. But what do you see from here? Halameya, had it fallen into a mixture of 100 parts chulin, ta'ala, then ultimately it would be batal. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that even truma, which is a davar sheish lamatirin, technically speaking, it can be permitted. How could it be permitted? You go to the Beis Din, and you get your neder revoked, and yet what? So it's a davar sheish lamatirin, yet what? Yet it is still subject to the laws of bittul. So it's contradicts what we just said before, because you wanted to say that the reason that the reason that the Konam case ultimately is not batal is because it's Darvish Yishlo Matirin, and any Darvish Yishlo Matirin is not batal. We clearly see that's not true. Truma is a case of Darvish Yishlo Matirin, yet it is batal, to which the Gemara says, no. Amri Truma Biat Kohen Askinan. Oh, what's the case here? The case over here is where the Truma is already in the hands of the Kohen. I will say, first I'll take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Tirakev. Since the truma is tmeya, lo chazi la koin la'achila, the koin can't eat it. Ubehesek nami lo sharia dechashina latakala. And I will say again, even though midaraisa, you could technically use truma tmeya as fuel. Midrabanan, you may not, out of concern that you may come to consume it as well. To which the Gemara answers, what's the case over here? The case that we're dealing with is truma that is already in the hands of the Kohen. Look at the Ran again. Truma biyad Kohen. Dechevan dizacha ba Kohen. Since the Kohen already acquired it, shuv inayacha lishal aleis. To which the Gemara says, oh, this is not a case of Darvish Yishlo Matirin. This is a case where the truma is already in the hands of the Kohen. If the truma is already in the hands in the case of the Kohen, then what? Then it's not a Darvish Yishlo Matirin. If it's not a Darvish Yishlo Matirin, then what? Then it's subject to the laws of Bittul, which makes sense now why Gemara just said that when it falls into a ratio of less than 100 parts chulin, that ultimately it's not batal. But by inference, we could say that if it fell into a mixture of 100 parts chulin, then what? Then it would be batal. To which the Gemara says, "Amri b'truma b'yad koin askinan d'lo matzi mitshal ala." Meaning, when do we say that you could go ahead and annul your truma vow, your truma statement? That's only when the truma is in the Yisrael's hands. But once you've given it over to the Kohen, you're done. To which the Gemara says, Yuhaki, if that's the case, Emo Seifa, look at the end of this statement, Im Haisa Tahora Timakya La Kohen, that if it was Tahor, you could sell it to a Kohen. Both says, this is talking about a case of where you had Truma Tahora mixed in with less than 100 parts of Chulin. So remember, in this case over here, you have a little bit of a problem. What's your problem? That because the truma is not batal, because it's less than 100 parts chulin, so I, Yisrael, can't eat it. The only thing I could possibly do with this is what? I could sell it to a Kohen. Now, obviously, you know that in these kind of situations, you're selling at a discount, right? Because remember, again, you can't just sell it to anyone. The Kohen really has the upper hand in this transaction, because he knows that his Yisrael seller is limited as to who he could sell it to. So the Gemara says, so therefore, again, how can you say that it's a case of where it's already in the hands of the Kohen, when the end of the Braisa is saying that if it was a case of Truma Tahora, the Yisrael could sell it to the Kohen, which seems to indicate that who is in possession of the Truma, it is still the Yisrael. Ella be Yisrael, Shenaflu lo mi base avi imo Kohen. Listen to this. This is an interesting case. Rather, what's the case here? It's a case of where a Yisrael inherited Truma from his maternal grandfather, who's a Kohen. So let's say again, my maternal grandfather passes away, he's a Kohen, and in his possession, he had Truma. I, his Yisrael grandson, and now technically speaking, the owner of Truma. It's a good trivia case, right? When can you ever have a case of where Yisrael owns Truma? And this is the case, he inherits it from his Kohanic maternal grandfather. Listen to this. So that's the situation over here, of where, that's why you could be dealing with the situation where ultimately the Yisrael has it, but technically speaking, now here's the chap with this. Technically speaking, now let's say I inherit that truma from my Kohanic maternal grandfather. Can I go to a Beis Din and be matir the neder of the truma? And the answer, of course, is no. Why? Because since that truma was already in the possession of a Kohen, so therefore, again, there is no revocability. Is that revocability, right? There's no revocability. You can't change that status anymore. But the end of the price still makes sense, which is that if now after I inherit that truma gets mixed in with less than 100 parts of chulin in my house, what's my only alternative? My only alternative is to sell it to a Kohen. To which the Gemara says, I v'hakatani seifa timakir la Kohen. But yet the end of the Braisa said that you should sell it to a Kohen less than the amount ultimately again of that one saw. Ela ima bishlama konamos mitzvah liishtule alehen mishum drabinasim. Now the Gemara says like this, you're right. The truth is, Truma and Konamos both share a common denominator in that both can be revoked. Rebbe, remember, what we're trying to figure out over here is the Gemara wanted to suggest that the reason in the Konam case, why if an item prohibited by a Konam gets mixed in with something else, the reason why it's not butl is because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because since, technically speaking, you could go ahead and have the neder of the Konam revoked. To just bother the Gemara, because the Gemara said, well, if that's the case, truma is also a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because technically speaking, while, at least while the truma is still in my Yisrael's possession, I could have my truma neder revoked. But yet we know that if truma falls into a mixture, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? It's batal. So I don't understand. If you're telling me that a konam is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and therefore it's not batal in a mixture, so truma should have the same halacha. To which the Gemara says, you're right, I'm going to tell you the distinction. Bishlama konamos, I'll tell you, you see, a konam is called a real davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's something that is truly going to become permitted. Why? Because there's a mitzvah lishtaluya lehem. Because Rabbi say there's actually almost like a mandate to try to annul that konam vow. What's the mandate? Mishum de Rabbi Nasan. Because of Rabbi Nasan, what did Rabbi Nasan say? The Amr Rabbi Nasan, kol hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. Also, we had this before. Whoever makes a neder, it's as if he has built a bama. This, remember, we'll say, what's a bama? A bama is an idolatrous altar. Right? So a person goes ahead and makes a neder. In other words, Chazal is saying, do not make nedarim. Nedarim are bad. And we'll say, we know this. People make nedarim all the time, and they don't follow through, they don't come through. And again, it's a severe transgression not to keep your word. So ultimately, if a person builds a bama, if a person makes neder, like he built a bama, v'hamakaimo ki'ilu makdale. So we'll say, you know, it's bad enough if you built the bama. So if you build the bama, what do? If you realize you made a mistake, you build the bama. So what's the next course of action? Deconstruct it. Right? Deconstruct it. So fine, you made a mistake, you built the bama. Deconstruct it. How do you deconstruct, so to speak, the bama of neder? How do you deconstruct it? You annul it. Right? Hataras nedarim, hafaras nedarim. What compounds your sin is if what? Haimakaimo, if you decide to forge forward with the neder, ki'ilu makdir ale. It's as if you offer up a carbon on that neder. So therefore, we'll say, yeah, excuse me, on that bama, excuse me. So therefore, the Gemara saying over here is, a person makes a konam vow. Chazal say, get out of it. Get out of it. Don't keep it. You made a mistake by vowing. You shouldn't vow in the first place. Now that you vowed, get out of it. So therefore, there's almost like a mandate to try to undo that particular vow. However, again, truma, my mitzvah lishtuale, but Rabbi say, is there any such concept like this by truma? Right? Does anyone say by truma, you went ahead, Gabi, there's a... Does a person ever say by truma, ultimately, again, I made the vow, and now I have to get out of it? No. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. When it comes to konam, where there's almost like halachic pressure to get out of this vow, to annul this vow, that's called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why is it called davar sheyesh lo matirin? Because even the halachic system is urging you to what? It's urging you to get out of this. Therefore, because of that, because it's really called a davar sheyesh lo matirin, therefore, if you have an item that is prohibited from a konam vow that gets mixed in with other items, that item is not batal. Why? Because that's called a real davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because since there's a way to be matir, to make it mutter, to permit it without using the mechanism of bittel, we won't use the mechanism of bittel. On the other hand, although truma, technically speaking, is a revocable designation, meaning you can revoke the truma status, is there a halachic imperative to do so? No. So because of the halachic imperative to do so, it's not viewed as strongly as a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and therefore if a truma item gets mixed in with something else, the laws of bittul will in fact apply. Gufa. So the Gemara goes back to Gufa. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Litra b'tzalim shetikna. Bizarra. Let's listen to this case. If you have a litra, litra is an amount, is a measure. If you have a measure of onions, a bunch of onions, shetikna, that you took trumas and maestras from. And what happened? Shetikna, bizarra, and then you replanted it. So remember, you picked a bunch of onions, you tithed them, and then you replanted the same onions. And now again, in parentheses, they grew again. What's the halacha?
Including the ones you took off?
No, let's say you gave away your truma ones. You gave away your truma ones. No, because remember, replanting of truma ones is a separate case. Right? No, here I gave my truma and meiser, and now I'm replanting the tithed ones. So what's the halacha? Misasharis lefi kula. Now what does it mean, misasharis lefi kula? Look at the Ran. Misasharis lefi kula. Velo lefi gidulan bilbad. The asu gidulan umavat leikar legamer. Listen to Shavosai. So when they grow, and now again they grow additionally, and you re-harvest them, when you re-harvest them, you have to tithe them according to their entirety. Meaning, that I would have thought originally, that what do you have to tithe? Only the new growth. No, you have to tithe the entire thing. So what do you see from here? You see from here that new growth, when it exceeds ultimately the old growth, does what? Is mevatel the old growth. So essentially, again, the new growth, when it exceeds the old growth, says the old growth is gone. It's all new growth. And therefore, when you reharvest these onions, you have to go ahead and give maaser from the entirety of the crop. And we do not take into account what was already tithed earlier. So this seems to be pretty explicit. Yosef Rabba v'kamer l'hashmaita. So Rabba was sitting down and he's saying over this particular ruling, the kamer, and he said, excuse me, I'm sorry. V'kamer l'hashmaita, amali Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Man tzois lachol Rabbi Yochanan Rabcha. Who said this to you and to your Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan? Heter shebohen lehechan halach. I don't understand that you could say this. Where did the heter within them go? In other words, how do you ignore the fact that this is tithed produce, right? Meaning, what happened to that part within them that was tithed? Look at the Ran for just a moment, we'll say. So the Ran writes, he says, Nira be'enai dahachi makshe. Even if you want to say that the new growth, let's say if you have new permitted growth, ultimately is mevatel old growth, old usher growth, So we'll say, so if you want to tell me that, let's say, when you go ahead and you plant a Shemitah onion, and then it grows, that and then the new growth exceeds the old growth, that the onion is no longer considered to be like Shemitah produce, but like year 8 produce. I understand, because when you eat the onion, there's no what we'll call taste vestige of the original onion. It's all new onion. Hilchach afapi she'isra sheba ma'urav d'tzocho, v'lo azalei ma'ama shari, aval gabi meiser, kevon de'lefi cheshbon atavol chayva rachmona la'asurei, hacha amai meiser sefikula. So you want to say, here's the difference. You see, when it comes to meiser, so how is meiser gauged? So meiser is gauged ultimately again by the volume of the crop. So how can you ignore the previous growth? So it's very nice. Let's say you have onions, you harvested them, you tied them, you put them back in the ground, they grew more. So now you want to say you have to take chumas and meiser from the beginning. How can you say that? How can you ignore the fact that there is a part of these onions that has been actively tied? Meaning, how do you ignore that reality to which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, they said to him, Milo Tnan de Kavasa, did we not learn like this? If you have onions, I will say, these are your six onions that rained upon them, Vitzimchu, and they sprouted more. So I will say, so these are onions that grew in year number 6. But then we're still on the ground, and they were good to go. Then it rained a little bit more, or rained a lot more in year number 7. So what's the halacha? Im hayu alin shalahen shechorin. Or as we said this yesterday, if the leaves of the onion are black, which means that they received still significant nourishment from the ground, then what's the halacha? Asurin. Ultimately, the onions are asur. Why the onions aser? Because, again, that shows that they receive nourishment from the ground when? The Shemitah year. However, horiku, if lemaisa, again, the leaves are pale, then mutarin. Then the onions are mutar, because it shows that they really didn't gain any nourishment from the ground in year 7. All of their nourishment from the ground is from year number 6. Look at the Ran for just a moment, Rabosai. So the Gemara says, Hayu alon shalan shchorin, umediktani stoma asurin, and I will say, now remember, the inference from this is that if the leaves are black, then how do we treat the onions? We treat the onions mamish like what? Like peroshvias, like Shemitah produce. But I don't understand the Gemara. How can you say that? Just because the leaves turn black now in year number 7, so okay, I understand that means that they certainly derived some level of nourishment from the earth on a Shemitah year. But why don't I say Leima Heter Shebahel Lehechan Halach? But I understand. What about the fact that there's still a huge amount of sixth year growth in this plant? What do we say about that? So to which they're trying to respond, clearly what the halacha is telling me is, even though again that year number six growth is there, at the end of the day, what we say is that if the add-on growth is significant and dominant, it's mevatel the earlier growth. Therefore, that would be the same ultimately again in the case of the Trumas and Maestros as well. Amalei responded to him, Misavris al ikar katani. Do you think that when it says that the onion is treated like a Shemitah onion, that refers to the entire onion? No. Atosefes katani asurin. What it means is that the part of the onion that grew additionally in year number seven, that's asur. But the rest of the onion that grew in year number six, however you're going to gauge this, the year six part of the onion is going to be absolutely mutter. To which the Gemara says, Ihachi, my asur of Shimon Gamliel Neymar. If that's the case, then what is Rav Shimon Gamliel coming to add? This Sanya, because we learn, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hagadol b'chiyuv chayiv, Hagadol b'ptur potter. So we'll say, interesting enough, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, that's what? That I will say, if you have year six produce that continue to grow into year number seven, so he says something very interesting. The part of the plant that grew in year number six, or let's say this differently, the part of the plant that grew b'chiyuv, now, in this case, what chiyuv means is the chiyuv of beer. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday, that in the Shemitah year, you're only permitted to keep produce in your house while it is readily available in the fields. Once it's not readily available in the fields, you may no longer store it. I mean, like larger quantities. You keep it in your refrigerator for what you need for the day, but you can't store larger quantities in your house. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you have, let's say, an item that grew in year number six and year number seven, so the part that grew in year number seven is subject to the laws of beer. So ha'omer ha'gadol b'chiyuv chayiv, ha'gadol b'ptur pater, that part which grew in a state of ptur, i.e. the part of the plant that grew in year number six, ultimately will be pater. So the Gemara says, Tanakama nami hachi amar. Kula masnis Rav Shimon Gamliel katani la. So listen to this. So the Einachi nami, the Tanakama agrees Rav Shimon Gamliel. And in fact, everyone is saying the same exact thing. I will say that this is very interesting because this is a dramatic change as to what we said before. Because we thought before that whenever the Gemara used this lashon of that, let's say for example, that if you had a year six onion that grew in year seven, and we said that it's chayiv, we thought that the entire item is chayiv. Now what the Gemara seems to be saying is that no, what it means is the part that grew in year number seven is subject to year seven rules, but the part that grew in year number six is subject to year six rules. So the Gemara says the following. And when do we know, according to Shimon Gamliel, the ain house of Mavakla Zaikar? So we said like this. Until when does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Or I say differently, in what case did we learn that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the additional part is not mevatel, the growth is not mevatel the ikar? That's the lo katarach. I would have said maybe that's only in a case where a person does not exert themselves. About what that means is you don't go out of your way to replant it again. Aval hechad di katarach. But perhaps I might have said that in a situation where you exert yourself, right, where you replant it a second time, then maybe batel beruva. Then maybe I would say that the plant should be batel beruv, right? Since you went out of your way to go out and replant it again, that's a new maisinati, a new act of planting. And maybe again, if the new growth exceeds the old growth, the new growth should be mevatel the old growth. Is that true? That wherever you go ahead and exert yourself to plant it again, that if the new growth exceeds the old growth, that the old growth should be batel beruv. Vahari litra meiser, but what about the case of the litra of meiser? Litra meiser tevel. So we'll say this is a case over here of where a person went ahead and took something that was untithed. Untithed, litra meiser tevel. It's an interesting wording, right? It's untithed produce, it's tevel. And what do? It grew during the sixth year, and now you're replanting it a second time in Shemitah. Now what's the chap of that? Remember, in year six, you have to take Trumas Maestros. What don't you have to do in the Shemitah year? You don't have to take Trumas Maestros. So this is an interesting case. You're taking untithed produce that was, technically speaking, already fully grown and tithable. And tithable is tevel. Remember, you only get the designation of tevel when, technically speaking, you're subject to the laws of Maeser. So you're taking produce that was ready to be tithed, and you replanted it on a Shemitah year, or I should say probably you replanted it right before the Shemitah year. And what, so what's the halacha? So the katarach, here's an example of where you went out of your way and you replanted. And I will say, based on the paradigm we just said, what should be the halacha? The halacha the Gemara seems to want to espouse is that if you exert yourself and replant the plant, if the new growths exceed the old growths, then what? Then the old growth is bottle, which would seem to mean in this case that if the new growth in year number 7 exceeds the year 6 growth, then it should be a plant that should be a produce that is exempt from Trumas and Maestros. To which the Gemara says, the Katani, and yet we learned, Osa Litra Maasra Lavim Lokomacher, yet we learned, the Lefi Cheshbon, yet we learned that Halokha Lemaisa, whatever grew beforehand in year number 6, in fact, is subject to the laws of Maaser, Lefi Cheshbon, in accordance with that. Meaning, again, everyone will agree that the year 7 growth, well, not everybody, but for now, for our purposes, let's agree that the year 7 growth will absolutely not be subject to the laws of Trumas and Maaseros, but the year 6 growth will. Therefore, you will still have to tithe this produce in accordance with the ratio of growth from year number 6, to which the Gemara says, no, Shani Gabi Maaser. Meiser is different. Why? The Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says, Aser ta Aser. We'll say, now this is interesting. What does it mean, Aser ta Aser? Get ready for this. This is a fascinating drasha. Aser ta Aser means that there are times where you have to do a double tithing. Right? That there are times, ultimately, again, in a plant's life, where you have to do a double tithing. When do you have to do a double tithing? In a case like this, where you planted it, it was subject to tithing, you didn't tithe it, you're not actually double tithing. What it's saying is that the obligation for tithing occurs twice. So, aser to aser, because remember again, it grew in year 6, you harvested it, you didn't tithe it, it was tevel, you replanted it, and now once you harvest it again in year number 7, you will have an obligation to tithe, a second obligation arises to tithe the year 6 produce. I have the Gemara says, Ve'etera zari inshi, Isura lo zari inshi. And the Gemara says something very interesting. And people again only replant those things which are permitted. They do not replant those things ultimately again that are prohibited. If you take a look at the Ran, so the Ran, it's in the third wide line down. He says, Shani Gabi Maiser da Amakra, Aser ta Aser. He's called to us, Aracha, de Tera zari inshi, Isura lo zari inshi. Kilomar, Rachmona Amar da Af Zaracha Shezarata Shumutukan Kvar. Taxer vete aser de batale ikar le gabi gidulin. Umidichsiv zaracha mashma dafka de tira. Dach yer chayud inshi. Ube tira ka amar de gidulin mevatlin ikar. So we'll say, interesting enough, what the Gemara is saying over here is that in a permitted plant, meaning where there's no iser involved, we can say that the second growth, in fact, is mevatal the first growth. Aval isura lav zaracha mikri. But when it comes to a prohibited item, ultimately, again, this is not called your planting. De lo zarili inshi hilchok mizaracha mashma to be isura. So we'll say what comes out over here is something very interesting. That in permitted items, we can make the argument that if new growth exceeds old growth, new growth will be mevatel old growth. When it comes to matters of prohibition, everyone will agree. Everyone, of course, is a relative statement, but everyone will agree that lamais again, new growth is not mevatel old growth. So let's go a little bit weiter. Gufa, Amrav Chanina, Tirsa, Amrav Yanai. Batzal shal truma shenato v'rabi gidula v'ali karo. We'll say if you have an onion of truma that you planted, and then what happened? The new growth exceeded the old growth. So what's the halacha? Mutter. And we'll say when we say the new growth exceeds the old growth, and it's mutter. Mutter means it's no longer what? It's no longer considered to be a truma onion. It's a regular onion. La memra. The gidule heter top of samech ma'alin es ha'isra. Are you saying then that if new permitted growth exceeds old prohibited growth, that lemaisa again the new growth is mavatel the old growth? Aye, but we learned v'hatnan gidule truma ki gidule which the Gemara says. But yet we learn that which grows from truma has the status of truma. So what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa again. even items that grow from truma are considered to be like truma itself. So it contradicts what we just said before. Because you're telling me now that when new growth occurs, the new growth is mevatel, the old growth, by truma, that's clearly not the case. To which the Gemara says, you're right, b'gidulin gidulin kamar. You're right. Meaning, that which grows from a prohibited item has the status of the prohibited item, but that which grows from that which grows, right, secondary growth now, will ultimately be permitted. To which the Gemara says, v'hanamitan, we learn that as well, that gidulin gidulin chulinu, to which we learn, but that's also explicitly stated that secondary growth, or now this is our now third stage growth, is going to be permitted. Like Chulin, how come we learn this? How come this comes to teach us? Or the novelty is afilu bedavar shein zarokala, that this is true even with something where the seed does not decompose. I v'hatnan, but we learned hamavatevel gidulav mutarin bedavar she zarokala, but yet we learned that ultimately again that which grows from the tevel is going to be mutar, assuming that the seed decomposes. But technically speaking, something where the seed does not decompose, even that which grows from that which grows, secondary growth, or now this is third stage growth, is still going to be usher. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but ribuya derabu gidulin ali kara mutar. We'll say there is one exception. Everyone will agree that lamaisa, in a situation in which the new growth clearly exceeds the original growth, the original root, then lemaisa, again, the new growth has the ability to be mevatel the old growth. In fact, if you just take a quick look, actually you don't have to do it inside because of time, but the idea over here is that if the new growth exceeds the root of the old growth, then everyone will agree that the new growth is able to be mevatel. So both say, let me just, because I want to tie this up. So halacha lemaisa, so how do we paskin here? So let me read to you from the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, and this is going to be in the Hilchos Shmita, Perek Dalid Halacha Chaf Aleph. Listen to this. Basel. Okay, so we'll say, remember, let's go full circle. How did we get into this whole mess? Right, we got into this whole mess because Yishmael came along and asked a very simple question. And what was his simple question? I have a Shemitah onion, that I go ahead and grew in the seventh, and I replanted it in the eighth year, and the year eight growth exceeds the year seven growth. What is the status of my onion? So remember again, this sparked this entire discussion. So remember, two and a half blot of Gemara all came from this one question of Yishmael. The interesting part now, remember, so how does the Gemara leave off? So the Gemara leaves off in a somewhat ambiguous way, meaning we're not clear. We know it's a machlokes. We also know that it's possible that there's not one standard answer for this question, that it may depend on the type of status you're talking about. Shemitah may have one answer, Truma may have another answer. But at least let's resolve Yishmael's question. So this is the Rambam, Perek Dalet, fourth chapter, Halachos of Shemitah, and Yovah Halach Chav Aleph. Fatzal, listen to this, so Batzal Sha'akru B'Shvias. If you have an onion that you uprooted from the ground in Shemitah, V'natu B'Shminis, and you went and you replanted it in the eighth year, V'rabu Gidulov Ali Karo, and the year eight growth exceeds the year seven growth, so what's the Halacha? Rabbi Gidulav Ali Karo, Halu Gidulav Esikaro, Vahutir Hako. So what is the Rambam Paskin? If the year 8 growth ultimately exceeds the year 7 growth, the year 8 growth is Mavatel, the year 7 growth, and the item, the onion, becomes totally permitted. Now why? Now this is what's interesting. Remember, this is where this whole sugya gets tricky. Now, it's not because we always apply this principle. Rather, the Rambam says this is unique by Shemitah. Why is it unique by Shemitah? We have this in the Gemara. Hoil ushvias asura ayide karka, kach netilasa ayide karka. The Rambam says because Shemitah is unique. Why is Shemitah unique? Remember the Gemara said this. This is the end of yesterday's daf. Shemitah is unique, or I should say the beginning of yesterday's daf. Shemitah is unique because its iser comes from the ground, right? Vishav saha aretz. So because its iser comes from the ground, therefore what? The iser could be remedied by the ground as well. So the same way that the ground caused year seven produce to become prohibited, therefore if you put that produce back into the ground and the produce grows again in year eight, that year eight growth causes what? the produce to become permitted. Sahalocha lemaisa, the Rambam paskins again to Yishmael's question that the Shemitah onion becomes permitted if you replant it in year 8, but not simply because we subscribe to the idea that if new growth exceeds old growth, then new growth is mevat old growth. That's not true, because there are cases where that principle will not be true. But in Shemitah cases, because the prohibition comes from the ground, therefore again, if there's new growth in another year from the ground, if that new growth exceeds the old growth, the new growth will be mevat to the old growth, and therefore again the Shemitah onion that is replanted on year 8 and grows additional leaves or additional onion girth, we'll call it, right? And the new growth exceeds the old growth, the onion will ultimately be permitted. Hadron Allah, Hanol Jemina Yerek. We'll say begin the new parak in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.